Our Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 17. We see how Moses, Joshua, Aaron, and Hur, and the Israelite army all play a valuable role in God's plan. While the people of Israel were still at Rephidim, the warriors of Amalek attacked them. Moses commanded Joshua, "Choose some men to go out and fight the army of Amalek for us. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of a hill holding the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did what Moses had commanded and fought the army of Amalek. Meanwhile, Moses, Aaron, and Hur climbed to the top of a nearby hill. As long as Moses held up the staff in his hand, the Israelites had the advantage. But whenever he dropped his hand, the Amalekites gained the advantage. Moses' arm soon became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. They stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Amalek in battle. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, your word is alive. May it be active in this room. May it continue to overwhelm us and fill us with you. May PB's words be your words, O Lord. Open our hearts to this. Amen.
Thanks, buddy.
We're in this series called Invaluable. Last week, you're invited. Your identity in Christ is that you're invited into relationship with Christ. And isn't it interesting, like all throughout the Old Testament especially, when God does really amazing work, he chooses to use a variety of people, and everybody has their place, everybody has their part, and he works with that sense of team. So that's who you are in Christ. You're invaluable, you're indispensable, you're irreplaceable, you're priceless. There's only one opinion that truly matters in your life, and that's the opinion of Christ. When Christ thinks of you, he says, you are pretty hot stuff. You are hot stuff. Okay, through your masks, I want you to mumble, I'm hot stuff. I'm hot stuff. I'm hot stuff. I don't know. It's really hard to find space on campus where you're totally alone. But I think you should go for maybe a bike ride or go out on the trails or head over to Antelope Valley and get alone. And then, like, when you know you're alone, my challenge is I want you to shout that out. I just want you to, like, go, like, really crazy and, like, God, I'm hot stuff. I mean, we gotta understand who we are in Christ Jesus, that we are invaluable. Because our Lord and Savior, the one who loves you and died for you, who gave his life for you, our Lord is on a mission. Our Lord wants the people on your floor to know that they are truly loved. The people on your floor matter. They're trying to build a life that really matters, but they don't really know, unless they know Christ, how much their life really matters. And so we have an important mission. We're pushing back evil. We're feisty. Christians are feisty when it comes to standing up for those who are overlooked, marginalized, facing injustice. We're feisty about that, and we have an important role in that. It's true that when Jesus went to the cross, Jesus went alone. But when Jesus wants to make an impact in this world, he chooses a team. And you're part of the team. So you are invaluable. That's your identity in Christ. Picking up on Paul's words as he talks about this in 1 Corinthians 12, he says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. As I think about those two verses, what makes us invaluable, three things jump out at me among those two verses. The first thing is we're all different. You know, there's many parts. And he uses in his day the parts that would be the farthest apart from each other. Like, if you were a male and you were a Jew and you were free, you'd be at the top of the food chain. If you're a female and you're a Gentile and you're a slave, you're at the bottom of the food chain. And what Paul is using in this one sentence is that, hey, you guys are all different. You have different levels of incomes, all kinds of differences. But in Christ, you're equally valuable and equally needed. But you're different. You're all different. The second thing I see him doing that makes us invaluable is that we're all part of something bigger than ourselves. We're baptized into one body. We're baptized into one body. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. And in this togetherness, did you notice that we have actually a new identity? An elephant all by themselves is an elephant. But when an elephant gets into a group of elephants, what is that called? My father-in-law knows this. My father-in-law is the smartest guy I've ever met. He does 2 crossword puzzles every single day. So whenever it comes to trivia, if you ever want to know a river in any obscure, he'll tell you exactly where that river is and how deep it is. I mean, he's just great. An elephant traveling in a group of elephants is a herd. Lions traveling in a group of lions is called a pride. Ships going together on the sea is called a... Yeah, there we go. I'm going to get tougher on you. A cheetah traveling with other cheetahs is called a... I had to Google this. A coalition, okay? All right, donkeys going with other donkeys is called a drove. A rhino going with other rhinos is called a crash. A kangaroo with other kangaroos is a mob. And frogs with other frogs is called an army. So here's my point. When you get together, your identity changes. You become a new identity. And that's what the second thing about why it's so we're so invaluable is we're the body of Christ. The New Testament uses the word ekklesia to describe this church. It's a Greek word with 2 parts of it. The ek is the word out of. Kaleo is the verb for called out of. So the church is the called out ones. We're called out. We're called out of this world. So you're called out of this world. That's what makes you unique. You're weird. You trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You're just simply different, and you live with a different mindset. But you do it together. The third thing that makes us invaluable. So we're different. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. The third thing is that we have the same Holy Spirit. You notice at the end of there, we're baptized into the same Holy Spirit. So it's not like you're a super guy. You got your act together. Anthony, he's got his act together. He's a super awesome, smart guy. He's got like 93.8% of the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's just really kicking it hard. Then like over here at me, you know, you guys over here, you got like, well, they're only 20%. It's not like that. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We're all equally formed by the Holy Spirit. In our baptism, we are defined as a king by the king, as a son and a daughter of a great king. So here's the point. We talk a lot as Christians about believing in Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus believes in you? Jesus believes in you, not because of you, because Jesus' spirit has been planted in you. So that's what makes us invaluable. We're different. We have something bigger than ourselves, but we have the same Holy Spirit. And I think that Paul is hammering this point because we have so many hang-ups. Like, I don't know if I'm all that invaluable. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not really all that important enough. My past, man, if you knew my past totally disqualifies me from what God really wants to do in something that really matters. You know, I can, you know, we live with this baggage. Like, well, when it comes to God's work in this world, I'm really most comfortable on the sidelines because I don't want to screw things up. The real players in this are the ones, you know, the paid professionals, you know, the people who are super committed. And so we see ourselves just, you know, sitting on the sideline and just kind of letting other people just sort of do what we know they can do better than I can do. The other part of this, too, is we can often live with like, well, this is my normal day life. This is my going to class life. This is my life, like what it looks like to be a student, and then over here, this is my religious life. And I'm part of Sunday. I go to church. Maybe I'm part of a small group or something. And we separate our 2 lives of this is like the real life. Oh, and here's my spiritual life. And what we think of as our part, as our role in all of this, is to attend. I'm an attender. I attend church. I'm part of what God has planned. I go to church. I attend. What Jesus is saying is that there's a big difference between actually attending and belonging. Attending and belonging. But we can see ourselves just so like, you know, I'm doing my part in the world. I'm doing my part. I attend. The last part of that, I think, is really probably our most struggle in realizing that we're actually pretty hot stuff, is that we compare ourselves to others. That's just part of what we do more and more now than ever. And that's where Paul goes next. You notice in verse 14, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? It's really creative language, just very, very clear. And it makes total sense to me. It's like, you know, I'm the ear. I'm not an eye. I'm not all that important. I mean, after all, the ear says, you know, starstruck lovers don't spend till 3 a.m. staring into each other's ears, right? I don't look at you and say, you have beautiful ears. You know, we don't do that. You're never the apple of my ear. Beauty is never in the ear of the beholder. You know, it's like the body doesn't obviously need me because I'm not an eye. I'm just an ear. But then he goes on to say in verse 12, 22 and 27, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So this is what we do. What we go around saying is like, you know what? I'm a uvula. You know what a uvula is? A uvula. I'm a giant uvula. So uvula, is there a picture of the uvula? There we go. I'm going to make sure that it's a beautiful uvula. That's all I am. I'm only a uvula. And then I realized as I did a little Google search, it's like, that little guy produces saliva glands, and not only that, he prevents food and liquid from going out your nose. So that's a pretty cool little piece of the human body. So I am just a uvula, or you say, I am just armpit hair. I didn't put up a screen of armpit hair because I thought it was probably not so tasteful, but all I am is armpit hair. I'm like, what value does armpit hair have? So I looked that up too, thank you, Google, and it's friction. It helps with reducing friction, and it whisks moisture and bacteria away from your skin to prevent you from being, harmed by an infection. So that's a pretty awesome thing. I'm just a pinky finger. I realize that 50% of your hand strength comes from your pinky finger. So you get the point. You get the point. I've made it. We have to crush this inferiority complex that we have. We need to speak the truth into that and just realize that is not coming from the Lord. It's coming from our enemy. Because here's what I think Jesus wants you all to know. It's not your ability that really matters. It's your availability. Can I say that again? It's not your ability that really matters. It's your availability. That's what Christ needs from us, is an available heart. You know, we're the feet of Christ to go. We're the hands of Christ to serve. We're the eyes of Christ to notice need. We're the heart of Christ to genuinely love each other. That's who we are in Christ. That's our identity. So here's what we do, okay? Hang in there with me, guys. We turn all of our excuses against themselves, and we actually use them as a tool, a really helpful tool. Okay, follow my train of thought on this. Let's say that there's an area of brokenness in your life. There's an area of weakness in your life. There's a struggle in your life. Or there's an area where you've seen yourself growing out of something into something much, much better. There's an area in your life like that. Don't use those things as an excuse to not be part of the team and working in God's pleasure. But use it as an actual tool. So, you know, you're trusting in Jesus, but you are chronically depressed. And you're living in the midst of chronic depression, and you're trusting in Jesus. Do you not realize that you are indispensable in helping someone else in that struggle? You are indispensable. You believe in Jesus and you have real doubts, lots of questions. So many things do not make sense. You are irreplaceable in helping someone else sort out their questions. That is an important role. You know in the deepest part that you're not alone in Christ, that he is in the midst. But you struggle with loneliness. You are so prone to isolating and withdrawing. And you know that about it. You are absolutely priceless to be a real friend to someone who needs a friend. You're seeing greater and greater freedom in an area of addiction. You know what it looks like to live in freedom from this. You are perfectly designed to help somebody else in their struggle with sobriety. I mean, over and over and over again, think about the possibilities. If we turn every one of our weaknesses and the things that we think are hang-ups and disqualify us into actual tools to be a person of great influence in the name of Christ. What if, as a church, we all did our part? Think about it. Just imagine what that could look like. If we all did our part, what would it look like if on this campus, average people from all over the world and all different cultures and backgrounds, that they would say to themselves, and if you want a real friend, you know, find yourself a Christian. I don't know what it is about those crazy Christians, and I don't understand, I don't even believe what they believe in, but man, if you want a great friend, find yourself a Christian. When people think about Christians, they're automatically going, I don't know, those people have a real heart for the poor. They really take injustice seriously, and they care for people who are overlooked, marginalized, and struggling in the ways that just simply aren't right. That's the way Christians are. Christians really have a heart for the environment. They are committed to taking care of this earth that is a gift from God. And when I think of Christians, like I said, I don't know what they believe. I don't agree with what they believe. But boy, they really care about God's, about creation, about environment. These Christians, they're informed listeners. They like to learn. The foster care system is like, I don't even know what to do with these Christians. We can't keep up with the number of people who want to adopt children that nobody else wants to adopt. It's crazy. But these Christians are just coming out and doing what's good for the lives of others. Can you imagine what it could be if we all played our part? Orphans, widows, the immigrants. Immigrants are being taught how to learn English. They're being navigated in how to get an apartment. They're getting access to furniture. All of the basic needs that many of us, we just take for advantage because we just, you know, that's who we are and we've lived here. But all of those things, Christians are stepping up. What would it look like for us? We're very simple in our lives and we're very generous in the way we spend our resources. But here'd be a great thing. When I think of Christians, I don't know what they believe. I don't agree with what they believe. But when I think of Christians, man, do those Christians know how to party? They know how to party. Christians know how to party. When you're with Christians at a party, it's like they're not all on their phones. They're actually with you, and they care about listening to you, and they're really interested in you, and they stay in the moment with you. And it's like going to another party. It's like, it's what I really need. And they know how to hang out with each other because they know each other. All right, do you get my point? We're all invaluable. We got to dream big. We got to realize that Christ Jesus came to the cross alone for me. He died for me. He died for you. But when it comes to being an influence in this world, he chooses a team. And that's who we are as the body of Christ. And you're invaluable in that. Do I hear an amen? All right. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. We're going to think about this as we move into setting aside. Am I right on this? You guys have a song? Okay, great.